Renewal of the heart. Holy Spirit wants to teach us and encourage us and reveal to us how this process of our heart's renewal occurs and by what means. And we're going to start with Psalm 51:10. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." The first part of our heart's renewal is to get clean with Him, to be open with God Himself, to be willing to allow the light of Christ to shine upon any part of our hearts that is hidden, that is secret, that we are even ashamed of, where that grit and grime and sometimes crud gathers, that keeps us from that freedom of knowing His love and of sharing and expressing His love. It's interesting when you go down further in Psalm 51, 13. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." First, we need a clean heart for that to happen. That doesn't mean we have to be completely introspective and look at, as if we have a microscope and look at every part of our hearts and make sure everything's perfect so that then we can witness and share the gospel. We're not talking about that. But if we are really going to lead people, our hearts need to be clean, because what are we going to offer them? Just a deal? Sign here? Say the sinner's prayer? Or are we going to let them know of the love of Christ that transformed us and can do the same for them? Now, Holy Spirit had me the other day when I was leading a meeting put down these three steps, and I thought, oh, well, Lord, what's your idea? Sounds a little bit funny to me, but okay. And this is what He's had me do. He had me give slips of paper out to each of the people in the meeting. And each of them were to write down the greatest experience they had had with Christ to date. And all of the people did that. And then some shared. Some, it was their first born-again experience. Some, it was a moment of revelation. Some, it was when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some, it was when they had led someone to Christ. They were all different responses. At the end of that, He said that He wanted to top that experience. He wanted us to move forward, not stop with memories of the greatest experience we had had with Christ. He wanted us to let Him lead and let Him really live through us, that we could live as new creations. But we cannot live as new creations without our hearts being renewed. Now, the Bible talks a lot in the epistles about the renewal of the mind, the renewal of the spirit of the mind. And we, having a Greek understanding of that, always think about our heads. But that word mind in the Greek is not just your thinking. It's your will. It involves your emotions. It involves the choices you make. Your mind covers what we would call more soul in our terminology. So when He's renewing our minds, when He speaks of that in the Bible, in those scriptures that we, most of us know, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind," we think it's just our thoughts. But we are not separate components oh, there's my head and my brain, and that thinks, there's my heart and that feels. We are a whole being as the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one God. And let's look at that scripture in Ephesians 4:23. And he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. So we're not just talking about your thinking. And when you look up that word in the Greek, it's the word nous, N-O-U-S. And it means the organ of receiving God's thoughts through faith. And the mental capacity to exercise reflective thinking for the believer. An organ of receiving God's thoughts through faith. And where is our faith centered? When he says, when we first come to Christ, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's in our heart that faith is based. And it's in our heart where our renewal takes root. And even the renewal of our thinking. If our heart is cluttered, if our heart is entangled with damage from the past, if our heart is burdened, how are we going to receive God's thoughts through faith? And many of us, all of us to some degree or another, would have gone through experiences that have made us raw, that made our hearts be as if they were scraped by a sharp comb. This is a picture he's giving, like a metal comb, and it scrapes across the flesh of the heart, causing tears, lacerations, and bleeding. And that's how some of us feel as believers, but we pretend because we think we're supposed to be above that and not experience that and not give any credence to it or not give in to it, that we are supposed to have that happy, pasted smile face of a Christian and just say some scriptures and it'll fix it. But that's not what he gave us. When he gave love, he bled to death on a cross. He is not adverse to our pain or our crying out, because he promises that if we cry out to him, he will deliver us from all our troubles. But if we don't cry out and we pretend we don't have troubles, well, where's the deliverance? We will not have a heart that is clean if we hide it. Our heart is his territory. It belongs to God, just as our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They aren't our property anymore. So why not, and does it not make much sense, to give it over to the owner, God himself? He wants us to rely on him that much that even our deepest wounds, even the things that have happened that have hurt us more than we can even express, are now his territory. Then what a relief that is. And that's what it means in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart. Create. We're asking him to create that in us. And renew a right spirit within me. The heart is cleaned, and then the spirit is right. We can't try to do it the other way around. What we do is bury our hearts under all this subterfuge, pretending what we feel isn't there, or complaining about it all the time, but never being willing to have it healed. And then our spirits are dogged and tired, and we can't even experience the revelation he wants to give us. And he's been showing me that renewal of the body of Christ, renewal of the church, is what will lead to revival outside the church. Because no one is going to be revived by a dead, battered, bruised, and hiding church. But if we allow him to clean and create in us a clean heart, we will have something of value to offer those who don't know him. Often it is our resistance to admitting failure, to admitting we got it wrong, to admitting that we're afraid of being hurt again. And he showed me this week because of some instances in my own life personally. He gave me this vision of my heart in a glass case, like it was on display in a museum, protected from being touched or moved or harmed. And we can think that if we place ourselves in separation, isolation, whether it is in a physical capacity or whether it is emotionally and spiritually, that somehow we'll be safe. But he wants to tell us that will not save us, nor will it be our safeguard. He says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We always think that's about perhaps somebody harming us in a physical way, maybe violence, or say we're in a legal situation and we have a court case of some sort, or perhaps there's been some kind of family feud and we're asking for protection from that, from the fallout from such a situation. But he's wanting to show us it's also about our heart. If we're so busy protecting our heart, how will we ever love? How will we ever know his love? And I'm going to read the poem he inspired. He actually writes it and gives me the words and I write it down. And he's called it Glass-Cased Heart. Your heart in a museum for safekeeping. When you are wounded, that is what happens. But a heart is made to feel and touch and love. A heart carries me within its confines. A heart is for sharing, not safekeeping. Only I can guard your heart from the wounds and lies and hatred of others. My guard does not patrol the grounds outside your heart. My guard is love. Remember your Savior when struck and hated and despised. Still love poured forth, the love that bled for all. Will you allow me to be that love in you? Or do you settle for plastic-coated love that appears genuine, but scratch the surface and there is no substance? A cheap replica of my love will never free you. This is the love, if you are willing, that will change the rottenness of mankind. Imagine what a love like that can do. Let me remove your heart from the glass case. Take it off its enclosed display where no one can touch it. There is no use for a heart like that. For a heart was made to feel, to weep, to soar, to sorrow, to commune with its very maker. If you protect your heart from pain and circumstance, you will protect your heart from me. Is that a price you are willing to pay for such comfort? Instead, let me have your heart. I will not dash it on the rocks of uncertainty. I will hold it next to mine, healing what was done, preparing it for tomorrow, and most importantly, loving through its very flesh with the same love that made the universe. Is this something you can trust me with, to love, honor, and cherish your heart? Others may have discarded you, used you, manipulated you, but no matter, I love you, and I am love. So surrender your heart to me, and let me take it from its protective case. Let me mold it, refine it, make it whole. For the love I offer, my child, is the love that made the stars and the wind. It is the same love that brought light to darkness, and is the love that sent my very heart to earth, Jesus Christ. Can you trust a love like that to take your heart from its glass containment? Can you surrender to such a love? For if you do, my child, you will love like my son. And then no matter what the world throws your way, my love will steady you, my love will hold you, and my love will live in you, enduring to the end. Let me rescue your heart from its prison of pain and shame and self-protection. And the great I Am will show you the wondrous work that is your heart. Now that is what is on offer from our God. Do we dare say no? He will create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. And then will we teach transgressors his ways, and sinners shall be converted to him. So let's pray for such a conversion in ourselves, a cleaning. Oh, Heavenly Father, you promise us that your riches in glory. So often we think it is material gain, but your riches are far greater than that. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, the one who transforms us from glory to glory, to create in us a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us, that we may teach transgressors your ways, and that sinners are converted unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen.